InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, May 27th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, a new report promises to name names of NSA spying victims. Then, a multi-weapon attack is used to push gun control. And the agenda for Bilderberg 2014 is revealed. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, it is Bilderberg week here at InfoWars, and our reporters are already on the ground there at Copenhagen, Denmark, the site of this year's annual meeting. We'll have reports coming in from David Knight and Paul Joseph Watson all throughout the week. Now, this year's agenda has been released, and it seems to show a little bit of desperation on the part of the globalists. Inside sources confirmed to InfoWars that the elite conference will center around how to derail a global political awakening that is threatening their long-standing agenda of a one-world government. Now, Paul Joseph Watson states that because of that, the TTIP will be a central topic of this year's discussion. The passage of the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership will have a huge impact on the centralization of power by creating a world company. Initially, it'll be a free trade area, which would connect the United States with Europe. Now, just as the EU started as a free trade area and was eventually transformed into a political federation controlling upwards of 50% of its member states' laws and regulations, the TTIP is designed to accomplish the same goal, only on a bigger scale. Now, of course, the crisis in Ukraine and the relationship between Russia and NATO will also be a focal point of Bilderberg 2014. The globalists now consider Putin to have ostracized Russia from the New World Order because he dared to challenge the international system, as John Kerry put it. And Bilderberg will discuss fears that Putin is intent on constructing an alternative world order based around the BRICS countries, a multipolar system that will devastate the dollar as the world reserve currency and also heavily dilute the current US-EU-NATO power axis. Now, our reporters will be there all week, further breaking down the agenda and how the issues on the agenda will really signal the future political conditions that we'll be seeing. And coming up later in the show, we'll re-air our last on-camera interview with Jim Tucker. He was the investigative journalist that really pioneered the stakeout of the Bilderberg meetings and helped to expose this shadowy group before his untimely passing last year, just weeks before the Bilderberg event. And I was very sad not to have been able to meet him. But if you want further proof of how the Bilderberg Conference sets global agenda, check out this article. It's up on InfoWars.com today. How Bilderberg Made Obama. Both Barack Obama and John McCain attended the Bilderberg Conference prior to the 2008 presidential election. And, of course, excerpts from the Obama deception chronicle how Obama was handpicked for the 2008 presidential election after a series of private meetings in Chantilly, Virginia. Now, another journalist who is also set out to expose the shadowy dealings of secret government groups is Glenn Greenwald. Now, in his finale piece dealing with the Edward Snowden revelations, Greenwald says he's going to reveal the names of the Americans that the NSA is spying on. Now, Greenwald told the UK's Sunday Times that Snowden's legacy would be shaped in large part by this finishing piece that is still to come. Greenwald said, "One of the big questions when it comes to domestic spying is, who have been the NSA's specific targets? Are they political critics and dissidents and activists? Are they genuinely people we'd regard as terrorists? What are the metrics and calculations that go into choosing those targets? And what is done with the surveillance that is conducted? Those are the kinds of questions that I want to answer." Now, Greenwald, of course, went on to slam the NSA for its ineptitude, saying, you know, here we have this huge, menacing surveillance spy apparatus who allowed a contractor to steal and download nearly 2 million files, and of course proving that they have no control over the data protection, and then of course they couldn't even catch the guy, and admittedly they haven't even caught a single terrorist with this massive surveillance net. Now, earlier this month, we reported on an alarmist global warming report that was immediately hailed as a call to action by President Obama. It called on the Defense Department to ramp up their spending in order to counteract and combat this man-made problem of global warming. Well, it turns out that that report wasn't issued by a private advocacy group, but rather a Pentagon think tank. And the research itself was funded by a climate change group that's also one of the think tank's main customers. Now, the report came from the Military Advisory Board within CNA Corp., and they include the Center for Naval Analysis, which is a Navy finance group, and both of those get contracts from the Pentagon. Now, CNA's website claims to maintain its objectivity, but four CNA board members sit on the panel of advisors to the Center for Climate and Security, and other board members work in the climate change world of consulting and technology. Now, of course, climate change is a big business. The U.S. government has increased spending by more than $100 billion from 2003 to 2010. Nations around the world are having to buy all of this equipment to monitor climate change. And of course, this means huge contracts for the consulting, studies, and technologies to analyze the Earth and the environment. And of course, that means huge contracts for these groups who were involved in writing this very alarming climate report. Doesn't sound very objective. But it's quite a shame that if there really is a problem with global warming, it is being overshadowed by the fact that those in power and those who are set to line their pockets with all these climate change policies, the real issue is being overshadowed by their exploitation. But of course, that doesn't stop the propaganda machine from continuing to pump out disinfo at the expense of the taxpayer. Now we have Columbia University. They're going to be spending $5.7 million taxpayer dollars creating fake climate change death voicemails. The projects are going to show several scenarios that promoters of global warming science swear will happen soon if the developed world doesn't mend its evil ways. One of the taxpayer-funded creations is going to be a series of fictitious voicemails in which people complain and gasp for breath. In one voicemail set in 2065, a man tells his mother that he's really worried about dying from either rising temperatures or a huge tsunami. And in another, a woman struggles frantically for breath because she is out of CO2 credits. Now, they are basically taking their global warming science and turning it into science fiction. Of course, that's really what it is at this point. But there's a movie about doling out these CO2 credits, and those who don't have enough money to purchase them, you know, they can't receive anymore. But who do you think is going to be doling out those CO2 credits? The same exact government agencies who are now pushing for climate regulations and carbon taxes. Really, do we need to give them power over the air that we breathe? Now, we've all obviously heard about the tragedy that took place this weekend. There was a mass killing spree that happened, but never one to let a crisis go to waste. After this mass killing by a young sociopath, gun control advocates and their ilk used it to push for gun control. The New York Daily News launched a series titled America in Denial, and it focuses solely on the three shooting deaths, completely ignoring the three stabbings that took place or the attempted murder of others as the murderer tried to mow them down with his car. Now, the author also goes on to bemoan the lack of gun control while completely ignoring the fact that California has some of the strictest gun control laws of any state in the country. Salon.com took the opportunity to blame this mass killing on white male privilege, while completely ignoring the fact that mass killings are carried out by other races as well. For instance, Easter weekend in Chicago, 8 people were killed and 32 injured. Or, of course, we have all the mass stabbings that have been going on in train stations in China. But, of course, those facts don't fit the agenda. Now, why isn't anyone talking about the fact that this kid has been in therapy since he was 8 years old, no doubt on a concoction of whatever drug cocktail the therapist decided to put him on? No doubt he is a misogynist and a sociopath, but gun control doesn't stop sociopaths. When are people going to learn that? Now, Of course, gun control is just one thing on the globalist agenda, but there is so much more, and you're going to learn about that right after the break. We're going to re-air our last on-camera interview with Jim Tucker, and he breaks down the globalist full agenda there at the Bilderberg meeting, and that's coming up right after this.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
My name is Jim Tucker. We're at St. Marie, Switzerland for the Bilderberg meeting. Well, this year, Bilderberg is strongly committed to expanding the war with the invasion of Egypt so they could have a big war. They use the term big war a lot in the Middle East because that will generate profits. They want them all involved in a big war.
Right.
They want to... a war throughout the Middle East, with the exception of Israel. And as I said, there's big profits to be made from war. Because when you go to war, you're making tanks, airplanes, trucks, jeeps, and all kinds of war materials, which is profitable in its own way. And then the war profiteering kicks in, as it has in all of our wars, where other big bucks are made on top of the big bucks. Yes, as I've said before, the page one story in the Financial Times, 1 hour speech delivered by Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, calling for bigger NATO involvement in combat missions, more NATO support for the wars in the Middle East. Very rough-sounding 1 hour speech. It appeared on page one of the Financial Times, and Financial Times has been attending Bilderberg meetings for decades, and so they keep the promises. So they identified, they said he simply spoke to a private group of luminaries or something to that effect. I've got the clipping here. It did not say Bilderberg. He delivered the speech to a private meeting of financial leaders or consultants or some such variation without identifying as Bilderberg. Well, my source said that was exactly the speech he gave because he was inside there listening to it, maybe got a text. And he said you can depend on use quotes around wherever he is quoted directly. You can quote him directly. The rest of the story is complete and accurate also. So go ahead and have fun. They intended that to be message get out in a way that would not be traced back to Bilderberg. It was kind of silly for them to think they could do that. Every American, whether he's a civilian shyster or public official, is committing a criminal act by simply being here under the Logan Act. The Logan Act passed shortly after our country was established, 1787, I believe. And it makes it a crime for public officials to meet with private citizens to make public policy behind closed doors. They can do it in the open, where everybody can observe and question. They cannot do it behind closed doors. The apologists who say, well, that Logan Act was so long ago. Two answers. First of all, if it was passed by the Congress and never repealed, it is still the law of the land. And to the apologists who worry about it being so old, as if that mattered, I'll point out to them that it's been amended and expanded and strengthened several times by Congress over the years, including deep into the 20th century, they've added and expanded the Logan Act. So they're criminals when they attend, and they should be prosecuted.
Is Robert Gates himself worried about that?
I don't think they're worried at all, because nobody ever challenges them except for, well, they're worried a little bit more now because of the great Ron Paul in Congress.
Jim, about the wars, so many countries in the Middle East, dozens of them, have had protests and riots and coups and destabilization. Has Bilderberg been behind most or all of that, or what do you know?
It has been promoted, and of course, the President of the United States is always controlled by Bilderberg, and they have members of the high officials of the White House attending the meetings for the purpose of getting their instructions. So, yes, there's a big involvement. We've seen some dramatic departures, such as Bill Clinton, who attended Bilderberg as the obscure governor of Arkansas, is elected president the following year. George H.W. Bush had been a trilateral commission participant, and he had promised in his campaign for election not to raise taxes. He said he's in favor of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which has first been proposed by my publisher and has since become law. Then Bilderberg ordered him to raise taxes. So he raised taxes and lost the election for breaking a very solemn campaign pledge. But Bill Clinton was right there. It is under Bill Clinton that NATO became the standing army of the world, of the United Nations. He invaded Kosovo. Clinton was the most bloody-handed draft dodger to ever disgrace the White House with his presence. And I've mentioned his good points. I've not gotten critical yet. So we attacked Kosovo, killed thousands of people. We have zero casualties in that brief war. Americans love a brief war when we don't have any casualties. The reason we didn't have casualties is our planes flew so high out of range of the missiles on the ground that they could not target their bombs. So we bombed a bridge, killing a lot of school children on a school bus on the bridge. We bombed a McDonald's and killed some more. A lot of innocent dead civilians, little children, mamas, daddies. And to go to bed each night with that blood on your hands, I don't see how they can do it, except the Bilderberg rationale for wars is we need the population control. They're now yelling that we'll run out of Earth in 30 years. We've got to control the population. Well, one way to control the population is for young men to die in wars.
Is Henry Kissinger ashamed or afraid that he has to skirt every country he visits and sneakily enter and exit all the time, given his age and acumen?
I suspect with his ego, he's proud of it. But he's a very affected character. One time a few years ago, I walked up to him at some kind of reception and said, Dr. Kissinger, you're at the Bilderberg meeting, name the time, space, so forth. And this long white-haired guy said this to you, but I couldn't quite hear your answer. He said, that was a private meeting. Then he called himself, have to affect the German accent, that was a private meeting. Too late, though, I caught him on that. He's been here since he was 14 years old, fled Germany when the Third Reich was being established. His brother, whom I've never met, but people who know him, says his brother speaks English like a native, but he affects that accent for some ego reason, and he's always been Dr. Kissinger. Well, David Rockefeller also has an economic doctorate from one of those snob schools, but he's Mr. Rockefeller. He's not Dr. Rockefeller.
Jim, can you talk about how long you've been covering Bilderberg, and what do you think about all the young patriots who are now confronting them wherever they go?
It's wonderful. I first started chasing them in 1975. Well, physically, about 1980. We had reporters working on it before, but I wasn't satisfied there with their work, so I did it myself. I signed myself to cover Bilderberg. Yes, it's gotten better every year, because when I first started covering those kids, I'd be the only guy there. They always had a low-key story in the smallest local newspaper, preferably a weekly, in whatever town they were in, to explain that these nice guys are meeting, called to let the public understand that even though this place is sealed off by an armed guards, it's only good people doing good work. When Bilderberg has a meeting, there's a big publicized economic meeting of some sort, with an easy plane ride, helicopter ride. So that's their cover story. They were in town that weekend for this big meeting of financial ministers. And then they came home. Well, before coming home, they go to Bilderberg on Friday night and leave on Monday morning. But that covers their butts as far as being out of Washington or out of Paris or whatever. I think it was at Helsinki. We had learned about the Bilderberg location quite early that year in November. Our subscribers in Europe, and there's very few of them, comfortably cost so much to subscribe with the air mail and all the postage rates, long-distance postage rates. So there's a tendency for 10 people or 20 people to contribute to the subscription and then share the paper. And one of them wrote back, this is before the age of the internet, it was a matter of just regular mail service, a letter saying, should we alert the local media? Well, I kicked myself in the butt 15 times. I should have thought about that years ago. And the answer was yes. So it was a lot of fun. We got to the airport in Copenhagen, or I think it was, and they're getting off the airplane to jump in there. Long black limousines with the police escorts for an ego trip to the resort about 20 miles away. And some are take the helicopter. But as they get off the plane to head for their limousines or helicopters, they're greeted by a throng of reporters, print reporters and broadcasters, lights flashing. And to see the terror in their eyes was just a lot of fun, how shocked they were to confront the media that way. And then it started making bigger in the newspapers. I mean, the top paper in Paris, the top papers in London had heavy and good stories, raising the question, why? Why are there these distinguished people having such a secret meeting? So in every year since then, our lasses in the circulation department would print out a list of all of our subscribers within a 200-mile radius, and they get a letter asking them to alert the local media about Bilderberg. And every year it gets bigger and better. More young people are becoming aware. Older patriots, too.
Can you also talk about two things that happened this year at the same time? The host country challenged their right to meet in the way they do. And yesterday they filmed actual members walking outside the grounds, which you say has never happened. Can you talk about those two points?
Yes, the meeting, walking outside the grounds, I think, for the first time ever. Always before, once they get behind the sawhorses and armed guards, they stay inside. They walk around on some grounds that are far, far away, but none where you could actually speak to them and they could hear you. I think they probably decide that we need to reassure, since we've had all this horrible publicity in big newspapers and little newspapers and big and little, small broadcasters giving such heavy attention, we better make some kind of a public relations move. So we'll walk to this place and we'll smile at them. If they ask a question, if we could give them a sweetheart answer, we'll respond graciously. If not, we will be unable to hear the question and be sorry, maybe a little wave. So I think that was another case of them being forced to do something they would not normally do, to confront the fact that there's such increasing public awareness that a lot of them are in great political danger or even being built up. Already we've seen leading members of Congress used to always attend the Speaker of the House, representatives, ranking senators would attend. Now they don't dare because they get mail from their own constituents, their own voters in their own congressional district or in their home state for the senators, saying if you do business with these criminals anymore, we'll never vote for you again. We'll vote for anybody else. And they've been politically frightened out of the ballgame. They're already long gone. And more, I think more are feeling very hesitant, very eager to cover their butts when they come to Bilderberg, like Secretary of Defense not being on the list when the Secretary of Defense always attends Bilderberg from the United States, along with the Secretary of Treasury, who's here, and Secretary of Commerce, other high officials of the administration. I tell you, I had the pleasure of talking to Kenneth Clark one time when he was in Washington. He thought he was going to hold a press conference to discuss, I forgot, some international issue. I'm there, and I asked the first question. I said, Mr. Clark, you attended the Bilderberg meeting. I had notes in front of me, named the dates, the exact location, and the exact town and country on these dates. Can you tell us what transpired? The other reporters from New York Times, of course, never heard of Bilderberg, but they get real interested in this. Kenneth Clark's face goes blank. He fumbles around a little bit. Then he started answering questions. I remember him saying, yes, we should have a world government. We will have, this goes back a few years, of course, when they were real optimistic. We will have a complete European Union, a common currency. Then we'll have the American Union, and your common currency will be the Mario. Then we'll have the Asian Pacific Union, and they'll have a common currency. And our grandchildren are going to laugh about the days when we had all these petty little currencies. We have to have a world government so we have peace and all that jazz.
Thank you for tuning into the show tonight. We will have continued Bilderberg coverage throughout the week. But as always, you can check out all of our Bilderberg coverage as well as everything else we've done by becoming a PrisonPlanet.tv member. Your username and password can be shared with up to 11 other people at the same time. Be sure to tune in weeknights at 7 p.m. Central.
Last week, elections in the UK saw huge defection from Conservative and Labour parties. UKIP, a party opposed to the European Union, surged from just 2 seats to more than 150 seats. Now, of course, the mainstream media glibly dismissed them as, wait for it, racists. But actually, they're just opposed to globalist control. And that doesn't make them xenophobes or racists. Now, one mainstream media, The Economist, got it right. They said throughout Europe, broadly anti-EU parties are rising as an indictment of the European Union, a project that millions of voters have come to associate with hardship and failure. They said this is an issue of democracy, not of economics. Voters are not impressed when they toss out an incumbent government, only to be told by the EU that its replacement must stick to the same fiscal rules and economic policies. And we've seen that happen in Greece and in Italy, where an Italian member of the European Parliament, Borghezio, pointed out Mario Monti, and he's the Goldman Sachs banker who replaced a democratically elected prime minister, and Italian minister Letta are members of Bilderberg, and Renzi, the current prime minister, is their puppet. That's right, Bilderberg. It's not just where European political puppets go to get their job, but it's also where American presidential hopefuls go to audition for their job.
Bilderberg always insists on a media blackout. By June of 2008, we had already figured out that Barack Obama was the elite's puppet of choice. The national media claimed that during the weekend the Bilderberg group was scheduled to meet, that Obama had speaking engagements set for Chicago and the Midwest. We knew better. In a classic bait-and-switch, the Obama campaign told the press corps to get on Obama's campaign plane and that Obama would join them on the flight to Chicago. Campaign staff then slammed the door shut. The fawning press had been shanghaied as Obama's campaign aircraft lifted off without Obama. The Bilderberg Group sits at the top of the world power structure. 125 of the richest and most influential individuals on the globe make up its membership.
But the European Union itself, as well as the unified currency of the euro, were planned in the 1950s at Bilderberg. As the chairman of Bilderberg, Davignon bragged about in 2009. That's why the Italian MEP Borghezio called Bilderberg the root of all evil. And other prominent Italians have called for a criminal investigation of Bilderberg. Well, as bad as the EU has been for Europe, Bilderberg has plans for America as well. That's what TAFTA, the Transatlantic Free Trade Agreement, as well as TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, will do to America. Now, one will unite us to Europe, the other will unite us to Asia. Both of them will destroy our economy as well as our sovereignty, putting us under the rule of globalist corporations and bankers. But of course, the mainstream media has for decades pretended that Bilderberg doesn't even exist. They've ridiculed Jim Tucker, Daniel Estulin, Alex Jones, and others who reported on Bilderberg. Even last year, Alex Jones was ridiculed as an idiot and a conspiracy theorist on the BBC for his coverage of last year's Bilderberg meeting in the UK. There may be a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. As Paul Joseph Watson reported just last week, a Berlin-based magazine, Cicero, quoted a Bilderberg member as saying, "Those sentences which really matter are being spoken at Bilderberg. You learn an incredible amount. Davos, in comparison, is pure PR talk." Now, of course, the mainstream media will be all over the economic summit at Davos. But the question is, will they even show up to the Bilderberg meeting? We want to bring them out of the shadows. We want to shine the light on them. That's why when they meet this week in Copenhagen, the InfoWars team will be there. Paul Joseph Watson, Josh Owens, and I will be giving you coverage there. Join us. Help us bring this into the light and expose what's being done in secret as the most powerful politicians and corporate leaders meet to plan a global agenda.
So celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles, now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.